He's calling, wake up, child. It's your time to shine. You were born for such a time as this, such a time as this.
This brokenness, this pain, and it leads us to a posture of repentance. If we stay there, it's going to turn into guilt. It's going to turn to shame. And, oh, well, woe is me, and I can't believe this. And see, that's why if we're not careful, we have to get up and now make a difference. Because the word repentance, the Greek word for repentance, is very clear. It's not only a changing of mind, it actually leads to a changing of direction. You can change your mind but not change your action. You're hearers of the word and not doers, and you live in deception.
Thank you for joining us here at Westside Christian Fellowship, located in Leona Valley, California, 1 hour north of Los Angeles. Today's message on regaining lost ground, Pastor Shane leads us in a special message called, Get Up, Why Are You Lying on Your Face? Isaiah chapter 40, verses 29 through 31 says, God gives strength to the weary, and to him who lacks might, he increases power. Though youths grow weary and tired, and vigorous young men stumble badly, yet those who wait for the Lord will gain new strength. They will mount up with wings like eagles. They will run and not get tired. They will walk and not become weary. As these scriptures show us, discouragement and failure are tools of the enemy designed to keep us from God's will. Please join us as Pastor Shane shares this powerful message on recovering from hurt and defeat by applying God's living word to our life. At the end of this sermon, we have a heartfelt testimony from one of our deacons here at Westside Christian Fellowship, who shares his life-changing testimony on how Christ saved his life and restored his marriage. Regaining Lost Ground is sponsored by the generous supporters of the ministries of Westside Christian Fellowship. For more information, visit us online at westsidechristianfellowship.org. We also encourage you to hear more truth from Pastor Shane with the Idleman Unplugged weekly podcast. And please be sure to follow us on most social media platforms. And now, from Westside Christian Fellowship in Leona Valley, California, here's Pastor Shane Idleman.
And just so you know, I don't really want to speak. It's not like a kid going to Disneyland when God puts a burden on your heart. And to let guys know, to be a little bit transparent. We all struggle as men with different things, and how we were raised and that father figure or the lack of father figure, or being raised in an angry home, dealing with fear, depression, anxiety, and trying to lead our family, let alone being scared of what's going on around us. And these are real concerns with men. And so I wanted to encourage you this morning, mainly just from Joshua chapter 7. It'll have a deep impact. The title is, Get Up, Get Up, Why Are You on Your Face? And God would often challenge people such as Moses or David or Joshua, get up. Get up, enough of that crying, enough of that just wallowing in sin or failure, but get up. Get up and win this race. Get up and take that rightful calling that I've given you. And so we see in Joshua 7, verse 1, but the children of Israel committed a trespass regarding the accursed things. For Achan took of the accursed things so that the anger of the Lord burned against the children of Israel. Shane, I thought this was going to be positive. Well, it is, but first we have to get to the negative. Sometimes we have to get to the root issue of certain things and pull out that root and that cancer so it stops spreading. Now, what happened before this, many of you know, is there was this famous battle of Jericho. The walls came down, and before, has God ever told you to do something and you don't do it? That's kind of where Joshua is here. He said, when you go into the city, don't covet, don't take of the possessions of whether it's gold or silver or garments. Don't go in and covet what is of the enemies. And Joshua said, I'm sure, okay, we won't do that. However, we see here that they did take of the accursed things. And that was the family, or the man actually, Achan, A-C-H-A-N. The man Achan took of the things of the city. And so obviously we can glean from this The word curse is used often, and cursings and blessings, and basically, without getting into a lot of information, blessings of God are when God favors you, or blesses you, or holds back the enemy, or restores, or blesses in a certain financial way, or emotional, or related. There's the blessings of God. You can feel that. And then there are the curses where it's basically not God saying, you're cursed, but we're creating an environment in which a curse can flourish. We open doors, like in Deuteronomy, blessed is the nation who does this, 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 this. Cursed is the nation who does this, 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 this. And then we also see a lot of times that even future generations were impacted by the decisions of certain people. And so the curse of coveting is wanting something that is not ours. Wanting that promotion, wanting that area of ministry, or wanting that I want what that person has. And don't we all struggle with that? You know, anytime, you know, I've got my Dodge Ram and I pull up next to a newer Dodge Ram and maybe a taller Dodge Ram or the diesel Cummins motor with the mega cab and 600 horsepower. I'm like, wow, now that is what I should have got. Tricked out, correct. Coveting. And I look back on my former self and I laugh because in my 20s, I think I was just out of high school, and Dad, I want the 35-inch gumbo mudder tires and I want the glass pack exhaust system. And within 5 years, I'm like, I just want a normal truck. I don't want to hear it and have it shake. I don't want to be able to not park anywhere. I just want a normal vehicle. And my dad told me that, Sean, that's going to be hard to park. That's hard to drive. You can't go to LA or LAX airport. It's just, but I want that. Look at how cool that is. You don't think coveting still happens? Many of us buy things because of image. We lift things. We race things. We improve things because we covet what someone else has. And we have to be careful because coveting can create an environment in which the blessings of God cannot flourish because it's not coming from a right heart, and God blesses a right heart. And so we see this took place here. He took of these things. And then verse 3, and they returned to Joshua and said, do not let all the people go up, but let about 2,000 or 3,000 men go up and attack Ai. Do not weary all the people, for the people of Ai are few. So to get you up to speed, Jericho has been defeated easily because God was in it. The blessings of God, following God, obedience to God. And let me just tell you on this, as men, on this point of obedience, I talk about that a lot, right? Obeying, obedience. Boy, Shane, you must be perfect. No, I disobey God. The key is quick to repent. How is David a man after God's own heart? How is David? Wait a minute, David? He just should have been out to battle. He's like, what is that bathing on the rooftop? Same thing happens. What is that on the screen? That advertisement, that alluring attraction. I was just sitting yesterday. I'm on the computer. We have it open, looking, working on the sermon. My wife's back here on a couch studying. And I go on Facebook, and here comes this ad, pop, for Playboy. I'm like, look at this, Morton. The enemy is not messing around. He just, no matter where you go, I guess Playboy has a Facebook page. I don't know. I'm not going to click it. I'm going to click hide, get rid of this. It's too offensive. And then they remove that ad from your computer. And so being vigilant, but David, back to this, a man after God's own heart, recognizes his failure and he repents and he works on it. See, God, in that perfect, I'm just going to be perfect. Well, not on this side of heaven, you're not. But a man, a true man of God, acknowledges his shortcomings, acknowledges his sin, repents of it, and gets back up again, fights, and keeps moving forward. The man that is not of God is tries to hide his sin, act super spiritual. You ever seen those who act super spiritual? And they have the language down. It's like, but that guy, boy, he must walk on water. Because we give this persona. So a man after God's own heart isn't necessarily somebody who appears to be obeying the word of God, although that is wonderful. It's actually a man who obeys God's word, even in the midst of his failures. And he gets back up. He's a man after God's own heart because he's a man of repentance. Create in me a clean heart. Renew a right spirit within me. God, I am broken. I have sinned before you. Would you return to me the years of my salvation? God, I'm crying out to you. I'm repenting. And it's that forward momentum of repentance. And that's how it breaks this curse of coveting. They defeated, what city was it? Jericho, by worshiping, by being in God's will. And now there's sin in the camp. That's where that term comes from. Sin in the camp, in Israel's camp. There's sin there that's not dealt with. So now they get to this other battle, Ai, and they say, just send us a couple thousand men. The problem with pride, I got this. You ever say that? Oh, no, I got this. I got this. I can handle this. And so the problem with pride is pride often doesn't allow us to see our shortcomings. It blocks those things from our sight. And that's why pride is so dangerous, especially spiritual pride. Because we think we know the scripture, and we do. We've been a Christian for a long period of time. We've walked in obedience to God's word, and we become a spiritual hotshot. And so we're not open to constructive criticism. We're not open to feedback because of spiritual pride. We've got this. Who are you to lecture me? We're going to just go in. They didn't even take it to prayer. I believe personally, if Joshua, like they've done in the past in the Old Testament, Lord, what is your will in this matter? Lord, what do you want? They prayed, they fasted for God's direction. God would have showed them, I believe, that, hey, there's sin in the camp. But they were presumptuous and said, okay, we won this battle. Be careful. Be careful when you win the battle because the enemy's coming again. You've heard of mountaintop experiences followed by valleys of disappointment and despair. And so we won. We are victorious. And we got this. Just send a few thousand men. We're going to embarrass this city. And the exact opposite happened. The men were defeated. And then verse 4, so about 3,000 men went up from the people. They're going up this area to go and fight. But then they fled. These mighty men of valor, these men of victory, these men fighting men of war. Joshua, these men were men of war. They fled before the men of Ai. And the men of Ai struck down about 36 men, for they had chased them from before the gate as far as Shebarim. And they struck them down on the descent. So they're going up to fight this battle, you know, we're going up, and then now they're turning around running because the enemy is pursuing them down the mountain. And as a result, the hearts of the people melted and became like water. Have you ever wanted to do something or going to do something, you think it's for God, and you go in and then you just get completely annihilated and wiped out and you lose the battle? It's debilitating. It's disheartening. Because you lose strength, you lose willpower, you lose motivation. Now, it's not always the case, but a lot of times we lose the battle because there's unconfessed sin. There's sin in the camp, and we want to go out and get a victory for God, but we haven't dealt with the idol in our heart. And that will show itself in defeat. The blessing of brokenness. Men, you need to know something. God blessed the broken road that led me straight to Him. There's something about being broken and humbled before God. There is something about going out in your own strength and then coming back in weakness and defeat, because God says, now I have you in a spot where I can use you. Now you're not so thinking so highly of yourself than you should. Now you're not just trusting on your gifting and your ability, but now you can be used by me because I have broken you. I have humbled you. See, now they come back in utter defeat and in failure and in shame. And they're like crying out, God, what happened? What are we going to do? And now he says, now I can work. See, now the soil of your heart is ready for me to plant the things of growth inside of you. And so I always encourage people, as hard as it is to see, and we don't like to live with our consequences, brokenness and pain can actually be a very good thing. It's the pain of my childhood. to where God has used me to preach. It's the pain of growing up and the discouragement and the failures in life that God has turned that brokenness into an unbreakable force because now he's in it. And he does the same in all of your lives. If we do not become bitter, prideful, because pride likes to make excuses, doesn't it? Shift the blame, make excuses, and we never really change or grow because that's that pride in our hearts. And then so this is an incredible response. Then Joshua tore his clothes and fell to the earth on his face before the ark of the Lord until evening. The ark of the Lord was there at this point. They just started the ark with Moses, and the ark represents God's presence and God's power. And God said, take this with me. So he fell down in the holy presence of God. He tore his clothes. And that was much like us coming to the altar and saying, you know, God, I'm sick of this. I'm tired of this. And there was a posturing. That's why I put the power of posturing. Now, posturing can be a negative thing. You've heard the term before, like they were just posturing. In other words, they were just giving an impression of something, or they were posturing. It happens in Hollywood a lot. But there is a good posturing as well, because our posture can reflect the heart. And so I think before men are really going to see change in their hearts, there has to be a brokenness that is reflected in our actions. Because it's one thing to say it, but it's another thing to do it, or to live it, or to resemble it. Do you know repentance has a certain flavor? Repentance has a look. Repentance has a characteristic about it where there's a difference. And I've seen it. I think one reason God had me speak at men's conferences before pastoring a church is because you get ready with the heart audience first, right? You go into battle with the difficulties and the men and the pride that comes up and the excuses. And one thing that always amazed me was after I would speak, you know, you could tell some men were completely broken. The altar's full. Man, lives are going to be changed. Pray for me. I'm going home to my wife. She's not happy right now. And tears. And man, this brokenness is incredible. But then I'd always have a line, too, of these guys. They look like this. You know, I agree with what you said. Yeah, however, you know, you don't know my situation. And I work my butt off trying to pay these. Can I say that? It's okay here. Larry, just not on Sunday morning, right? So, and it's just this. But they give the words of repentance. Like, yeah, I hear what you're saying, and I see how that applies to me. But, you know, and there's no posture of repentance. So you can say the right things. In many cases, I think our wives are tired of us saying the right things. There has to be a posture of repentance. Not be fake, not be phony, but something has to break your heart in order for you to make a difference out of genuine repentance. There's something flows from genuine repentance. And I would tell, like, what's the difference between you, this guy like this, and that guy over there on the altar? Well, he just must be, you know, he just must be really hurt right now, or he must be really, you know, he really must have some deep work he needs with God. And I'm like, no, you do. You do. Here's a mirror. See, so pride reveals itself too in the posture, correct? Where's the term stiff-necked come from in the Bible, Old Testament? Stiff-necked. Because there's a posture of repentance and humility where they would bow themselves. They would in humility, they recognize they're not a hot shot. They're not number one. And there was a posturing of humility where the stiff-necked people would say, I'm not going down because I want to elevate myself. I'm stiff-necked. You're not going to see the head bowed down because the neck and pride keeps it stiff and haughty. That's where it comes from. Or haughty eyes. It talks about the look of pride. God says, I hate the look of pride. Did you know that in Proverbs? I hate a proud look. Right there with, I hate hands that shed innocent blood. I hate feet that are quick to running to evil. I hate those who sow discord among the brethren. And at the top of that list, I hate the look of pride. I will halt the arrogance of the proud, God says. I would shut the mouth of the prideful. I will not bless them. I will resist the prideful, but give grace to the humble. So the power of posturing. Now, you can't come up and fake it. You can't go home and, Pastor Shane said, I have to bow down. Or I have to get on the floor. No, I'm just saying there should be a brokenness and genuine repentance have a flavor about them. It's a sweet-smelling incense to God Almighty as a sacrifice. And then verse 10, so the Lord said to Joshua, so here it is, here's the key. Joshua is down on his face. He is fully repentant. He is on his face before God. He realizes that men have been killed because of the decision of whatever is going. He doesn't even know there's sin in the camp yet with Achan. He is down. He is repentant. And then God says, okay, God, get up, Joshua. Get up. Why do you lie thus on your face? In other words, the time of mourning is over. I see your repentant heart. I see your brokenness. Now get up. Kind of like stop crying and do something about it. And A.W. Tozer was very famous for this. He would say at conferences and speaking to men as well, he'd say, don't come up here and cry about it. Go home and live it out. Let that sink in. I remember when I first read that in his book, I just highlighted it and put it down and said, oh my Lord, that is so true. Because here's what happens. When that type of position on the ground at the altar, that lowly position, if it goes too long, it becomes whining. It becomes a victim mentality. You can think about this. Why are you, your wife, why are you always, what? Get up and do something. Lead the family now. And so this initially, this brokenness, this pain in it, it leads us to a posture of repentance. If we stay there, it's going to turn into guilt. It's going to turn into shame. It's going to turn into whining and complaining and, oh, well, woe is me and I can't believe this. And see, that's why if we're not careful, we have to get up and now make a difference. Because the word repentance, the Hebrew word, the Greek word for repentance is very clear. It's not only a changing of mind, it actually leads to a changing of direction, a changing of action. You can change your mind but not change your action. And then you're hearers of the word and not doers, and you live in deception. So when somebody is, and we watch for this, I can't even tell you how many times in the prayer room here over the years, people have said the right things, repentance, but there wasn't fruit. Oh, I'm so sorry. Oh, I got to work on that. Boy, you really hit me, Pastor, at that message. Oh my goodness. Okay. Talk to their wife a week later. Nothing's changed. See, you can be sorry, but not repentant. And many men are sorry when they're caught. That's not repentance because, oh, my reputation. That's embarrassing. I am so sorry. No, you're not. You're embarrassed that you got caught. I can't tell you how many over the years, I don't do it as much because the time is so limited now, but when I was able to meet with men going through separation, there would be tears. They could not believe it. Remember a fireman, he said, Shane, I can't let this get to my workplace. Reputation, that's not repentance. How it's going to hurt me financially, how it's going to hurt in this area. Repentance is actually all about fixing the problem, and there's a cost to you. I broke this. I'm repenting. I'm going to fix it. It's not guarding self. Guarding income.
He's calling, wake up, child. It's your turn to shine. You born for such a time as this. He's calling, wake up, child. It's your turn to shine. You born for such a time as this.
You've been listening to Regaining Lost Ground with Pastor Shane Eidelman. You can find more information at westsidechristianfellowship.org. That's westsidechristianfellowship.org. And for all the latest on what God is doing with His ministry here, please be sure to follow us on most social media platforms. Westside Christian Fellowship is located 60 miles north of Los Angeles in Leona Valley, California. Thank you again for listening to today's message of Regaining Lost Ground, where we are reminded daily, times change, truth does not.
I want to hear the Father when He calls. He's calling.
such a time as this. He's calling, wake up, child. It's your turn to shine.
Regaining Lost Ground is sponsored by the generous supporters of the ministries of Westside Christian Fellowship.